Time to bring in Lil Bill from the Bill Shank Show, 93.1 FM in Macon, 98.3 FM in Warner Robins and South Central George, also 105.9 FM in Warner Robins. Bill, good morning. How are you?
I wish people could say Lil Bill, Lil before my name, instead of seeing me in the store down by the cookie-all getting my Oreos. Saying, "Hey, big guy, how you doing?"
Yeah, yeah.
I know, and they probably get this. Yeah. I get it all the time.
What's up, big man?
Hey, big guy.
What's up, big man?
I mean, I'm more than my size. Come on.
I've come to the conclusion that people who are not skinny and have a 32-inch waist are the most discriminated people in the world. I mean, I'm tired of people looking at me in the eyes and for some reason looking down at my belly. I don't understand that. It's really pissing me off. And then I look down there, and of course, if I look down at a woman there, I'm in trouble. I want to be, you know, reported for crying out loud. So it's like, but don't call me big guy. Don't call me, it's amazing, you know. But I guess that's my fault. Yeah, I guess since I'm no longer a 32-inch waist, the people of the South are just discriminated against.
You know, here's my thing, though. It's just like if we're going to be that size, I want to get the big man nod from George Foster.
That's right, the big man nod.
Yeah, which he said that the former Georgia offensive lineman, he says some big men give the other big man the big man nod.
Like if you're in like a situation where like you're the biggest guy there and then all of a sudden another big guy walks in, you just kind of give him that little nod like that you're acknowledging, yeah, we're here, we're big.
That's right. I like that. I like that a lot. George's mom works at the Kroger here in Macon, and what a lovely lady she is! She's great. We always when we do our show from Kroger's in the fall, and she is always there, and she always comes over and talks football with us and so forth. So she's great.
Well, if you ever get George in there with you, you'll have fun with him. He's great too. He lives in Atlanta, right, Sam?
Yeah, kind of like South Atlanta.
South Atlanta.
Yeah, we've had him on a few times, and every time it's just he always gives us one of those little nuggets like the big man nod or something like that.
it's good stuff for sure. Hey, so, Bill, it's a non-Braves question, but I know the answer was about to say. I was like, did the A's know what they were getting into with Kyler Murray? Obviously not, but what do you think of all that?
Well, they should have known what they were getting into.
Well, I mean, I guess the sense, I mean, who knew that he was going to blow up and win the Heisman Trophy?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I meant by that.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I was shocked when they gave a two-sport athlete, he was still known, I guess, when they drafted him in June as a two-sport athlete who could be the starting quarterback of Oklahoma. That was still kind of dangerous enough, I guess. I mean, I was like, I think the selection shocked everyone, and especially the money that was going to have to be committed to him with that draft pick. And I don't understand the fight for this. I mean, if a guy wants to go play football, I don't know if he can play in the NFL. He's not very big, but you hate to count people out. But and they say he's a tremendous baseball player and a great talent. So I don't like – I think you have to be very careful about two-sport athletes. You know, the Braves knew Jeff Francoeur was going to play baseball, even though he had committed to Clemson. I think if any other team had drafted him besides the Braves, it might have been a little bit more of a dicey situation for them compared to the Braves. But they were very, very confident when they drafted him in 2002 that he was not going to go to Clemson and play safety. But that's the risk you take when your first pick, your first overall pick, you know, ninth overall or whatever it was, something like that. I think it was right after the Braves pick, which that was risky enough. That's another story, but still, it was a weird pick at the time, and now the battle for him, it's like the battle for his soul. What does he want to do? Baseball, football?
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Well, it's funny to me, too, because you look at the situation and a lot of people have kind of, you know, I've come out and said, you know, if he is trying to, you know, he's got the ability to leverage, you know, whatever he wants here in sense of if he wants to play football, he can go do that. If he wants to play baseball, he can go do that. And then people have gotten to me and been like, well, you'd be mad if the Braves did something like this. And I don't really know how I would react, but I'll say this. This situation is so rare that, I mean, it's not really something that's going to come up all that much because the last, I mean, high-profile player that we had that could really have leveraged and gone either way, I think, before this, would it have been Jeff Samardzija? I mean, I know Russell Wilson's out there too, but I mean, I remember Jeff Samardzija chose pitching over being a wide receiver in the NFL. Russell Wilson chose going to the NFL as well.
But Russell Wilson wasn't a first-round baseball
guy. Well, I know. There's a difference there. But still, I mean, in terms of guys that have the ability to be good at either sport, you know, I think that it's just such a rarity that I don't think it's something you need to really, like, obsess with or, like, super be concerned about.
Well, I think it's just leverage the players are trying to do. You go back to when John Elway was at Stanford, and he was coming out, and he didn't want to play for the Baltimore Colts, I guess, at that point. I don't think they'd moved to Indianapolis.
Yeah, Baltimore.
He didn't want to play for the Colts, and they were awful at the time. His dad screamed like he was Archie Manning and said, I don't want my boy to go play in Baltimore, and then held the Yankees contract over the head, and they finally traded him to Denver, and you know, it's just about leverage for money, I think. I don't know if it's about what he wants to do more than just who's going to pay him more and what kind of contract he could get if he goes to the NFL and what these people are telling him that he might get if he, you know, what round he might go in. I mean, someone told me the other day there was some crazy talk the other day that some report that the Jets loved him early in the first round. I mean, not the Jets. It was some other team. Miami, maybe, that loved him. I think it was Miami, that loved him early in the first round. And I'm like, are you kidding? Really? And so, you know, I think it's just about money. And I mean, maybe he's got to decide which sport he wants to play. But usually it's just about leverage for money is all it's about. But I'm glad. I hope our team doesn't do it. I hope they don't pick someone like that. And Tools the Outfielders, I don't know. That just scares me. When I hear Tools the Outfielders, it just always scares me. Anyway, you know, I mean, look, Jordan Schaefer was a toolsy outfielder when he was drafted out of Lakeland, Florida, and they compared him to Mark Kotze, and he was a two-position player because he played outfield, he played pitcher, and most people wanted him as a pitcher, and that scared me to death. He was a fourth-round draft pick, but there was a kid, Austin Beck, who I think he was from North Carolina. I think the A's took him, as a matter of fact, and some of the Brave scouts liked him a lot, but every time I would ask him, I said, "Oh yeah, he's a toolsy outfielder." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that just kind of scares me a little bit." Because do you want an athlete or a baseball player? You know, is Kyler Murray an athlete or is he a baseball player? Well, he's a football player too, so he must be an athlete who can play both. I don't know if that's what I'd want to spend $9 million on if I was the A's.
It's just weird, like you mentioned Francoeur, and I always think of George Lombard.
Yeah.
Where you know you have got it's generally football losing out to baseball. And this is like the opposite because it's potentially baseball where he has already signed a contract, potentially losing out to football career. I don't know. I mean, it's just would he owe the A's? Obviously, there would have to be some breach of contract situation, right, if he didn't play baseball. And then the A's aren't going to get – since they've already signed him, they're not going to get – would Major League Baseball give them a pick next year or whatever?
They shouldn't.
That's what I'm saying. He's already part of their organization. He signed with them.
If he left, that's their problem, I think. I don't think they should be compensated for another pick. I mean, they were the dumb ones who picked him and took the chance and took the risk that he might not play football, knowing that he was Baker Mayfield's backup quarterback last year at Oklahoma, but when they drafted him and that he could possibly be the starter and could possibly be a good player. I don't know. I mean, it's a weird story. And you know why it's taking up the headlines in baseball right now? Because nothing else is happening in the hot stove league.
Wait, Manny Machado didn't sign with anybody in the last 24 hours?
Nothing's happened. No one signed with anyone in the last 24 hours. It's a crazy story. I mean, how many weeks have I come on here and said, well, let's be patient, let's wait and see what – it's January 17th. We're less than a month from spring training, and basically nobody is signing in Major League Baseball. It's just at a stalemate. Maybe it'll stop after Harper and Machado are signed, and the dominoes will fall then. But my word, it's alarmingly quiet on the hot stove league right now.
Is that what you think is going to be the norm now, though, for the rest of time, or at least for the – you know, that it's just all like this is where we are with baseball, where we're just not going to find out where these guys are going to end up until it gets close to spring training or actually maybe in the middle of spring training?
Possibly. It may possibly just tilt that way on the calendar. I think what we're still in is a market correction. I don't want to call it collusion, because collusion would be if no one in the at all has signed, or two or three people have signed. I mean, there's 25, 30, 35 people who have signed. But when you have this many big free agents who are still out, I mean, we're talking about 10 weeks of the offseason that have gone by, and Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrell, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, A.J. Pollock have not signed contracts. That's the thing. And I think a market correction is going on, which I think the superstar players are still going to find a home, just like J.D. Martinez did last year toward the end of the offseason and in the spring training. But it's these other guys. I mean, you would have thought A.J. Pollock, for example, would have been a player who would have gotten a contract, at least what Andrew McCutchen got, or a little bit more than that even. But you know what? He's 30. He's coming off three seasons where he hasn't played a whole lot. And even though the people like his talent, people aren't going to give a five-year contract in today's environment for that. And I don't know why Dallas Keuchel can't get a contract. I think teams are just leery of doing that. It makes the Patrick Corbin to Washington signing even more peculiar in a way that he was able to get that much. But he was the top player. So it's like the top players are going to get their money, and everybody else, you better hold your breath and hope someone out there – I mean, Andrew McCutchen's probably sitting back laughing right now, because he's not one of the top players, but he got a three-year plus an option contract from the Phillies at a pretty good rate. And he's seen all these other players that are not unable to find a job right now. And there he was, December 10th or something, that signed the contract. He's lucky as heck right now, considering what's going on. But it's a market correction that's undergoing here, and it might cause some real unsteady times when that basic agreement comes up here in a couple of years, because they are not happy with the thought of, it's not collusion, but they're going to say that, but it's a market correction.
Bill, I found an article from a Phillies like fan site kind of thing the other day, and you know, obviously this isn't from like a veteran reporter or anything, so you got to take it with a grain of salt. But it was really just one exploring like the possibility of the Phillies signing both Machado and Harper. You know, with the luxury tax, I guess if anybody wants to pay anything, it's possible. But that's like 0% chance, right?
Well, I don't know if anybody wants to sign with Philadelphia. They supposedly have crazy money available and January 17th, and I don't know if they've extended an offer to anybody or signed, or they certainly haven't signed one of the big boys. I mean, they signed McCutchen, they signed David Robertson, and they traded for Gene Segura, but I mean, they have not signed one of these guys, much less two of them. And so I don't expect that to happen. The luxury tax is basically a salary cap, because these teams, no matter how rich you are, you just don't want to have to be taxed at the rate that you are penalized for going over that certain amount. And so it's a kiss salary cap is all it is. I think we're going to hear more talk about that, Sam, as we get closer to the collective bargaining agreement as well, that you know, your market has been corrected because of the luxury tax, which is, in effect, a different term for salary cap. And that's something that the Players Union in Major League Baseball has always fought against. And now that there's a different form of it in the luxury tax, and now that we're seeing what these last two off seasons have been like, that's the thing. But I, you know, if the Phillies had that stupid money and wanted to sign them, why haven't they done it yet? I mean, they could have just gone crazy and done it. I don't think those guys want to go to Philadelphia, to be honest with you. I really don't. I just think they don't want to go to Philadelphia. I don't know whether it's Gabe Kapler, or they don't like cheesesteak, or they don't like Ben Franklin, but they don't seem to want to go to Philadelphia at all to me.
Yeah, I agree. It is kind of strange. They're like hedging their – I don't want to say they're hedging their bets, but they're just waiting to see if something else can come along better than that. That is kind of what it feels like. By the way, our cohort here at Cox on the AJC had a story. You may have had it also. I didn't see it, or someone else, about the Braves potentially being in the – if there's a Sonny Gray sweep – not sweepstakes, but, I mean, is he still a possibility for the Braves?
Well, I don't know how much trade talk's going on. I know they've talked about him, and I think they've had a discussion with the Yankees. The Yankees came out at the beginning of all season pretty much said we're going to trade Sonny Gray, and they haven't yet. And I think the Braves do have some interest in him. I know the previous general manager loved him and thought that he was a perfect fit, but they at the Oakland A's at the time wanted Ozzie and Mike Soroka in a trade for Sonny Gray. So that was kind of killed, but I think Sonny would be a good fit, to be honest with you. If they're going to get I mean, I like – Sonny Gray's kind of the cutoff, all right? If they're not going to get Kluber, if they're not going to pay the price for Kluber, which I think would be a big, big deal and a huge advantage for them to get a pitcher of that caliber, get a Sonny Gray. Anything below that, forget about it. Let's just go to spring training in the rotation. And I'm to the point now, David, where it's like, all right, January 17th, get a right fielder, get Adam Jones, forget about A.J. Pollock. Don't give up the draft pick if you don't want to, which that's the rumor that they don't want to give up a draft pick for A.J. Pollock. But if you're not going to give up a draft pick for A.J. Pollock, you shouldn't want to give up Austin Riley for J.T. Realmuto either. You ought to have the same philosophy in that regard. And also just, you know, sign someone like Adam Jones. Let him be there for 1 year. He's older, but he's cheap. He's not going to be that expensive because of what's happening in the market. Get another relief pitcher, and let's go at it. And then if you decide you need a starting pitcher in the year, if the kids don't work out, then go get one. But considering what's going on now, I think that's ought to be their priorities and take a shot at it and go.
Bill, you and I share one very staunch similarity, and that is our hatred for the New Orleans Saints. You know, I have a Lady Dogs game that I have to work, so I'll probably miss most of it. But even if I didn't, I would have a hard time actually sitting down and watching that game. Are you going to watch, or is it something where you might find something else to do until the AFC Championship game comes on?
Well, I'm going to watch because I'm going to be rooting for the Rams. I hope Todd Gurley runs for 500 yards against the son of a guns. But, yeah, I'm going to watch it, and I'm interested in it. We were doing our show yesterday from a restaurant. One of the ladies that works at the restaurant was a Saints fan, and we actually had her on for a few minutes to just mock her in her presence. And I hope we're not jinxed forever and our show goes off the air because of having her on there because she's a Saints fan. But, my God, she even had a Saints tattoo, and I'm like, God, I wanted to say to her, what trailer park did you live in Louisiana? But, I didn't. I told her, I said, you know, when you die and you're in that coffin, they're going to see that tattoo on you. That's going to be real embarrassing when you're like 89 and they can start. And she said, I might have one on my forehead by then. I'm like, oh, my God, you need help. But I hate him. I can't stand him. I mean, you can put my hate for Florida and Tennessee and Georgia Tech and maybe even Auburn, too, in a basket, and it probably is right there with what I feel about New Orleans altogether because I can't stand him. I can't stand the Mannings. I can't stand Drew Brees. I think he needs a dermatologist. And I swear I hope the Rams – I never thought I'd root for the Rams as much, but I really hope they win this weekend. I think they got a shot, too. I do. I think it's – you know, they played them once before, and I think the Rams could beat them. But, you know, that crowd's going to be a problem because those drunk Cajuns will be there, and it could be an issue.
You know, you bring up the Mannings, and that's something that I have always wrestled with as a UGA fan because there are more UGA fans that I know that seem to forget that Peyton Manning played at Tennessee, and once he got to the Colts and Broncos, they're like, oh, we love Peyton Manning. I have, like, so many different, like, UGA friends that, like, have a soft spot in their heart for Peyton Manning, and I'm sitting here like, what the hell's wrong with y'all? I have never cheer for Peyton Manning because he went to Tennessee. Like, what is wrong? Like, Georgia fans that have a soft spot. Well, Peyton Manning's fine. No, he's not.
No, he's not. Ask Jim Donnan and go back and look at the tapes in 96 and 97 and go back and see where he ran up the score on us. And he and Fat Phil ran up the score on us in 97 in Knoxville. And I was there and I saw Jim Donnan and I was right behind Donnan in case he wanted to take a swing at Phil for running up the score. And I was right there near five head, and I was ready to take a swing at him if I could reach him. And I can't stand him. I don't like his dad. My hate for the Saints is rooted in the fact when I was a little boy, I mean 8, 9, and I started watching the Falcons games on television, they sucked and so did the Saints. And we had a couple of games where both teams won a game on a last-second play, a long pass, and the Falcons called them the Big Ben plays. You ought to Google that, Sam. And David will probably remember.
Oh,
that.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And, I mean, it was unbelievable. A couple of games, I mean, they were just wars between two crappy teams. And I want to tell you, and I hated Archie Manning because, of course, I worship the ground that Steve Barkowski walks on. He's the best quarterback in the history of the game. I don't care what you say. And Archie Manning was just the enemy. And, you know, then obviously he procreated, unfortunately, and spat out Peyton and Eli, and I don't even like Cooper, and he's done nothing to me, but I don't like him anyway. And And Olivia, I don't like her either. She's the wife. But anyway, and then Peyton went to Tennessee, and as we talked about, and then Eli went to Ole Miss, and then, you know, then we had the Eli not wanting to go to the Chargers and crying like a little baby, like a little something else. And then, you know, his daddy saying, I don't want him to play for Monty Schottenheimer. And then he forced the trade to the Giants. And I mean, just crazy. They're worshiped in Louisiana, which proves to you they don't have a whole lot of people to worship in the Bayou country. And I don't like any of them. And the Georgia fans should not root for any Manning whatsoever. That ought to turn in their red and black gear if they do that.
Thank you.
So you know what's going to happen, don't you? We're looking at a Saints-Patriots Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Oh, my God. And let me tell you something. I might have to have Sam on for 2 weeks straight talking 3.5 hours each day about soccer.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I get hate mail here when I do that. I don't know how it would go down in middle Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm not looking forward to it. And if Arthur Blank allows that team to practice at his facility, he ought to be forced by the commissioner, Roger Goodell, to sell the Falcons immediately. That is on par with what Marge Schott did in Major League Baseball when they forced her to sell the team.
Only in Atlanta. Only in Atlanta will something like this happen. Anyway.
Yep.
Bill, good talk. Maybe next week we'll have a baseball question or two or maybe even a Braves question or two for you.
It'd be nice. I hope so. I'm keep on watching Twitter waiting for something to happen, but I hope I'm not going to feel bad when it does happen, like an Austin Riley trade. But let's see what happens here the next week. Maybe it'll start kicking, especially if Harper or Machado kick it into gear and sign with someone.
Thanks so much, Bill.
All right, guys.
See
have
you
a great weekend.
All right.
Go Rams.
Amen.